This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head to Cut.com, that's Q-U-T-T.com. Use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x on NBA, NHL, college basketball, golf, and much more. Sign up today using promo code GOLFSGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And we're also brought to you by Champs. Run your own match at March Madness pool to enter Champs free bracket contest to a chance to win $1,000. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs to enter today. We're also brought to you by our Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. And so we're going to start making smarter bets today. All right, DJs, good morning. It is bright and early on a Monday. Thank you for your patience. It is me, Steve Shermer, going over the Players Championship TPC Sawgrass early on a Monday morning. Listen, if you got young kids, daylight savings time just kind of screws up everything over the weekend. And unfortunately, that's kind of what happened yesterday and last night. Boston Capper also had to get up early to go to Orlando for a meeting. Work meeting. So I figured, you know what, instead of me coming in exhausted and not prepared, and because I know you guys, if you tune into the show, you know, you like my breakdowns, and I figure why not come all rested with a cup of coffee and, you know, actually go over this properly. So we are here this morning talking about TPC Sawgrass, coming off the heels of a dominating performance from Scottie Scheffler. It was about time this happened, guys. The fact that, you know, he's always been such a good ball striker. I think there was a couple quotes I read afterwards of just how on another level he is with the ball striking. And that was on full display all weekend at Bay Hill. And it started off kind of like the usual Scottie Scheffler situation where, you know, not putting well, he switched to the mallet putter. Wasn't going to work all that good, but I think he led the field in putting yesterday. I think he was 10th or top 10 or so on Saturday. And anytime Scottie Scheffler has a hot putter, it usually leads to a multi-stroke victory. And that is exactly what happened. It was a very, I thought Saturday was really good. I had plans in the afternoon. I actually went home and taped the third round because of all the wind and how difficult it can be. I muted a bunch of conversations, and it was a very enjoyable round of golf, but Scottie just put it away on Sunday, made it a bit of a snoozer. But listen, I mean, this is a very scary development for everybody. If Scottie Scheffler all of a sudden can just putt, and that probably would lead to just multiple wins in a row, maybe another Masters in a month. I mean, this is very good news for Scottie that he finally seems like he found a putter that works for him. It's very bad news for not just the PGA Tour, but anybody who likes, you know, betting the mid tier of the betting card, because it probably would just end up with Scottie Scheffler winning a lot. And unless you want to single bullet him, you know, you have choices now. So, but now we get to the players, the crown jewel of the PGA Tour, and most of the best players are here. You know, they've always tried to build this as the strongest field in golf. Well, obviously, with the developments of LIV taking a lot of really good players over with them, including 2022 champion Cam Smith. It's not the best field in golf anymore, despite a lot of the propaganda that's going to come out of Ponte Vedra this week. But this is still a great tournament. And it's great for not just the field and the prestige of winning the Players Championship, although some people might argue how prestigious it is. The golf course also truly shines. This is a great test of championship golf. They've done some things to the golf course to make it look a little more visually appealing that I'll get into in a little bit. I think because they want to elevate the status of this event. Also, the necessity with the climate of Jacksonville, they have to make the agronomy change. But it looks much different than what it did even 10 years ago. This used to be a very more of a wild, natural look. And as they've kind of met, you know, put some, you know, lipstick on the pig, or, you know, just dolled it up a little bit over the years, it makes it more look like a true championship golf course. That's what they want to look like on the TV. Big, deep greens from the ryegrass, lots of pine straw around it. They basically want you to feel like it's Augusta National, not just with the prestige of the tournament that they want you to get, but just the look. But the golf course still is a great test of golf that I'll get to in a little bit. But I mean, I think the only notable omission in the field, other than just, you know, anybody who went to live who was not here, Tiger decided not to play this event, which is a little odd. Considering, you know, he's a two-time champion. He played at Riviera and obviously withdrew, but he says it was a illness. But it's strange that he decided not to play this. This is not a daunting walk. It's a very flat walk. He's obviously had success. There is a lot of money. And the fact that he's now basically de facto commissioner, you would think he would want to play this event. He isn't. He said that he wanted to play at least once a month before the Masters. If he ends up committing to Valspar next week, which is a tournament that he's played a couple, I think once or twice, that would be a really bad look for the tour. But he's not here. That certainly takes some oxygen out of the room. I'm sure the PGA Tour isn't totally happy that Tiger won't be playing because they won't get the ratings bump, at least for the first 2 days. But otherwise, though, all the usual suspects are here. Scotty, Hovland, Rory, who really, really... struggled through Bay Hill. Something's not right with him. I'm not really sure what's going on over on that front with him, but it's going to be a good test of golf. And not only is this a tournament and a golf course that you know, usually has very exciting finishes, as I'll get to in the predictive skill set chart, there doesn't seem like a particular fit that truly works here. It seems like TPC Sawgrass is a golf course where however you play the game, however you approach it, whether you are somebody more comfortable with your short irons and getting around the green and putting, or you're just a ball striking master, if you show up with your A game to TPC Sawgrass, you're probably going to have a pretty good time there. You're probably going to have a pretty good showing. And it shows in a lot of the types of leaderboards. We can go over that in a little bit. But if you're somebody who's a little bit off on the week, a little sloppy with the ball striking, or just a little loose around the green, this is a golf course that will expose you. And we'll get to some of the holes and the ways it can expose you right after the first commercial break. But I'm very much looking forward to breaking this down with you this morning. Thank you again for being patient, not having the podcast in your feed this morning. Why don't we take a first ad break, and then we will start breaking it down on Google Earth. Some of my favorite holes and what you should be looking for this week at TPC Sawgrass. All right, we're first brought to you by Cut. Cut is the peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes and tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. And Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable odds. You can even create your own bets. This is great for, you know, let's say you go to your book and you want to target a particular golfer on a matchup, and you just can't find it. So this is, you can create your own bet here and bet somebody else, bet one of your friends, bet anybody on Cut with this customized matchup. Maybe you have an edge over them that the other person doesn't. So Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for money. It has social features like group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And you get rewards every time you use Cut. You get cash back every time you bet against your friends or other users. So download Cut today in the App Store or over at KUTT.com. That's KUTT, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. And the best thing about it, and it's a game that I love over at Underdog, is the Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players or golfers will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game or tournament for a chance to win big. You can create a card to win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players to build a pick'em entry. And you also play rivals picks too. It pits 2 players against each other for who's going to have more yards, lower scores, etc. And, you know, for the players this week, Underdog's done a great job recently of expanding the stats available for golf. You can do higher or lower on things like fairways hit, green regulations, bogeys are worse. It also will give you spicy options if it's the less popular side to really increase your chances for a bigger payday. You know, it's they've done a really nice job expanding the menu for golf so far this year. So sign up today with promo code SGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. We personally have our own promo code, so if you do sign up, please use golf SGPN. And you can get your first deposit double other $100. So visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our promo code GOLFSGPN to get your first deposit double other $100, as well as instant pick'em special. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit ncgambling.org. And also, we are running our promotion this week for Merch Madness. There's 15% off in the merch store if you use promo code MADNESS. Obviously, we have our own line of golf gear. If it wasn't so cold in my garage right now, I would be wearing my Golf Gambling Podcast t-shirt hoodie. I love that thing. It's very comfy. The lounge around the house, or just, you know, even go to the driving range and hit some balls. I love just wearing it. It's comfy. It's a great piece of shirt I own. So go to Merch Madness. Go to the store, 50% off everything in the merch store. Use promo code MADNESS. All right, let's get to bring down this golf course. Let's share my screen. Here we go. And come on. There we go. All right. This is TPC Sawgrass in all of its glory. And this was built in 1980. So back in the late 70s or mid 70s, early, you know, around that time frame, the PGA Tour was looking for basically to create a new illustrious event. And at the time, the commissioner was Dean Berman, and he wanted to find a golf course around the Ponte Vedra, Jacksonville area to basically create the crown jewel event for the PGA Tour, with hopes of elevating it eventually to, you know, somewhat rival the prestige of the other majors. So he went around a couple of golf courses in Jacksonville. Everyone rebuked him. I think one of them was nearby Sawgrass Country Club. I think actually maybe one year it might have been held there, but most people turned him down. But he ended up basically, after getting rejected from most of the golf courses around the area, he said, you know what, I'm just going to build my own. So he ended up buying 415 acres of land in basically the swamps from a couple prominent landowners in Ponte Vedra for allegedly a dollar. It's probably something else that's tied to that agreement. But then he hired Pete and Alice Dye, legendary architects, lots of golf courses we've seen both on the PGA Tour and probably you've played in your lifetime. Lots of iconic golf courses on their resume. They designed the first TPC Sawgrass. And, you know, like I mentioned before, this used to be a lot more rugged and natural. You can actually find, I found a video one time of, it's actually kind of funny. They hosted this, like, something like the Worst Golfers Championship, and they got a bunch of 30 handicaps to play TPC Sawgrass. And I think a lot of these guys spent about an hour trying to get to the island green just because they kept hitting it in the water, and they were carding like 20s, 25s. It's actually pretty funny. I'll try and maybe dig up that video and share it in Discord. But, you know, like I said, this is a true test of golf, and every single hazard, bunker, water, you name it, is strategically placed there. Also with Pete Dye Designs, this is prototypical target golf. Lots of small targets. Lots of precision is needed. You can, you know, go out and hit driver. It allows you to hit driver if you really want to be aggressive, but you got to nail the shot. It also allows you to play conservative, but there's some, you know, trade-off with that. Usually longer approach shots and just smaller targets. And also, this is a golf course that commands you to hit the ball both ways and usually on both holes. And, you know, probably the most prominent examples of the demand to hit the ball both ways on the same hole is probably the opening holes on the front and back nine. So this is number one. Unfortunately, the regular satellite imagery for the 3D rendering is a couple of years old. There's been a lot of changes and tweaks to the golf course over the last like 5-6 years, specifically with like the bunkers. Like I can actually show you here. So this bunker complex has changed by the first green here. I think they expanded this fairway bunker over on the right as well. So if I go back here, no, I guess it's the same. But they basically did a lot of changes to this greenside bunker here. They've done a lot of that stuff. So that's why I'm using the old imagery here. But on the first hole here, you know, you could take driver. It's really taking on a lot of risk. But the optimal shot shape into this green or off the tee here is a left to right shot. Basically, I hit a little bit of a fade, play towards you know, this elongated bunker here. There's a couple of pop bunkers also on the right, some mogul mounds. That's one thing they've also done in the last couple of years is try and make these mogul mounds a little more severe to increase the penalty for missing a fairway. We'll actually talk about that. Something happened last year that really impacted that I think had a material change on how the tournament is. But then into the green here, you know, the green kind of angles a little bit away from you. You know, the fairway runs this way, angles away from the fairway. So you got to hit a right to left shot, draw into the green to get the most pin location. So again, first hole, got to hit a fade off the tee, usually a draw with the approach shot, have to hit the ball both ways. And now the 10th hole is basically a mirror image of that. And it asked a completely different question. It asked the opposite question. Can you hit a draw off the tee and actually hit towards this treble over here, hit towards the woods, towards this elongated bunker? Because if you bail out way right over here, you just don't really have a great angle into the green, you know, especially with this back right pin location. You got to carry it over the bunker here. There just isn't a lot of room. You have to be on the left side, or at least the left middle of this fairway, to get the most pin locations. And the best way to get the most pin locations is to hit a left or right shot. So again, this is the complete opposite of the first hole. You got to hit a draw essentially off the tee, hit a fade into the green here. This is happening all over the golf course. And, you know, they normally do a good job setting up pin positions to promote the style of golf where, you know, you have to hit it on target. You have to display some sort of control and accuracy, or else you're not going to be able to get a good look at a birdie, or you're going to have a terrible angle into the green. It's a true championship golf course. And I love seeing stuff like this when bringing up golf courses, the need to hit both hit shots just both ways. We kind of saw it at Bay Hill last week. Wyndham Clark just got around just hitting fades all weekend. Sometimes you go to Jack Nicklaus golf courses, you can just get away with hitting fades all the time. This isn't really the case here. This is target golf. This is, you have to have all the shots. Let's go over some other highlights of the golf course. It's going to be most on the back end, but what I want to highlight here is what they have around the green here. So this is a par 5 second hole. And, you know, they have a couple just little small pop bunkers that look just pretty nondescript. And, you know, I know I always joke at Boston Capper because, you know, he lives in Ponte Vedra. He knows this golf course like back of his hand. You know, you'll go around, you'll see like, hey, why is this a little like hula hoop sized bunker here? And it's always there for just a reason. And they always seem like too, that they're just magnets for balls, even if they are really small. And that's just another part of the challenge of TPC Sawgrass is you just have these little small pop bunkers just randomly sitting there. And if you get into them, the stance is usually pretty awkward. It's a pretty difficult approach or splashing out of it. Yeah, it just, and everything is there just for a specific purpose. So everything about this golf course, tee to green, is difficult. And that's one of the reasons why is just that there's a lot of thought and care put into where bunkers have been placed around the green at TPC Sawgrass. Let's go over the fourth hole here. This is one that, you know, there is some, you know, choice of what you want to do off the tee. You can be aggressive here. This is about, I think, like 340 yards to the water here. So a guy like Scottie Scheffler, he was pulling driver, and he can hit a nice fade, get it down to his lower level here, a nice wedge shot into the green. Some guys just aren't comfortable with that. So they lay back usually with a fairway metal. This have a little longer approach shot. Some guys just even bail out over to the left here in this rough because, you know, I mean, you're taking, there is some water over here. There's a bunker over here. You're taking all this trouble out of play. But, you know, if you're in the rough here, there is water looming up front. If you have a bad lie, you could splash into it. And that's also one of the challenges of this hole is this green slopes pretty hard from back to front. It can run really quick too. It is really easy, especially when it's running fast, to spin a wedge back into the water off of four. You see that happen a lot. And, you know, one of the things about this golf course is it's one of the toughest from under 150 yards with your approach shots. Obviously, number 17 with the water looming all around plays into it. This is another example, though, of if you don't have good, if you overspin your wedge shot here, it's going back in the water and you're hitting four from the other side of the water here. So you see that a lot here. Good rounds can get derailed often on, you know, what should be a birdie hole because guys just can't control their wedges. Let's go over to number seven. This one is just, you got to nut up and hit a good shot because there's trouble looming on both sides of the hole here. So you got water left, a big, skinny, elongated bunker over on the left here. On the right, you have three tiny little bunkers for gobbling up anything that misses right. Now, the only one that really is in play anymore for these guys is probably this bunker. It's about 300 off the tee. These ones, unless you're hitting less than driver, which, you know, with this hole, there's a lot of room. You're probably, you should just hit driver at this thing. But this is one where you just have to hit a good shot because miss right, obviously you have these bunkers here. You got some mogul mounds. You got to carry it over a bunker here. And obviously if you miss left, you run the risk of going to the water. This is just nut up, hit a good shot. You know, it's just, it's a demanding driving hole. Where, yes, you know, if you hit it long and straight, no problem. But if you miss, there is a penalty for missing the fairway on this hole. Let's zoom back over to number 11. This is a really good par five. So see this little push pin here for John Rahm. This is his gravestone back in 2019. There's a really famous YouTube clip of him debating with his caddy about, he ended up in this bunker over here and he was blocked out by trees. And the problem for Rahm was the wind was coming hard off the right here and he had to hit a hook around the tree to basically hit the green from about like 212 away. The problem is though, he had to do it all over water and he was trying to hit a hook into a headwind coming off the right. It just killed the ball. And it didn't even come even close. And this basically ended his players' championship hopes right here. But this shows, too, like, if you're out of position off the tee, you're, unless you're stupid like John Rahm, you're going to have to lay up into this apron down here. And again, that's not really an easy approach shot because you don't really have a lot of room here. You can easily go a little long back into this bunker or land it short here. You don't have, it's not a good angle. The best, basically, you have to hit it pretty far right over here to get to the green. But if you hit it a little too far, it lengthens your approach out into the green. You see a lot of guys try and bail out basically over the left here, but there's some mogul mounds. There's a small pop bunker over here as well. You know, I mean, if you hit the green in two, it's a relatively easy birdie, but there's a lot of ways to screw up this par five with just sloppy play. And this is one of the, it's a really good par five, a really well-designed par five. TPC Sawgrass. Let's go to number 12 here. The architecture wonks don't love this hole. They've tinkered with number 12, the drivable par four, a lot through the years. You know, I can show you what it actually used to look like. Excuse me. I mean, this was one where you just didn't hit driver. You would hit less than driver, just narrow target here, and just set up a pretty short approach shot. With a couple small pop bunkers, there wasn't a water hazard over on the left. Now, it's baiting you to go for it. You have a water hazard over the left here. This is all short grass where the ball will run back into the water. Although I think they grew up the rough a little bit to just create a little bit of a buffer for them. This is all short grass over here. So this is one where guys are probably hitting, you know, if it's into the wind, you hit a driver. But I've seen a lot of guys hit three woods and try to hit a, you know, a draw to get it to the green here. It's just, it's not easy though. You know, if you see guys bail out a lot into the trees over here, and you don't have a great angle to the green. Obviously, you see guys overcook their draw, land in the water here. The green runs off on both sides here. So if you hit it a little bit over to the right, it's going to roll back into the short grass here. If you hit a little over to the left, it's going to roll back off the green here. And you can get birdie here, but it's, you have to hit good shots. You know, it's for entertainment golf. I think there's a difference between golf, a golf course being well designed and entertaining. We saw that last week in Bay Hill. It's probably another one of those examples. It's not the best design hole, but this can be very entertaining. That's really all you're looking for when you're watching golf. 16th hole here. Let's go to the closing stretch. 16th hole, iconic par five. You know, if you bet Cam Smith, you basically crapped your pants when he duck hooked it into the woods over here and then hit a, and then punched out in a hell of a third shot into the 16th, which I believe still birdie the hole. But yeah, this is just, this is a hole where you got to really hold your breath with the approach shot. There is no room to miss right. And if you hit a, you know, you got to hit a left to right shot. You got to hit a controlled fade to get into this green from the fairway here. But if you overcook it, it's going in the water. I remember a couple of years ago, they were Hovland and Berger actually got in an argument about where Berger's ball crossed into the water here. And there's also trouble looming around, you know, short of the green here too. It seems like a lot of guys get caught up, you know, around this tree and this bunker here to try and get up and down. A couple of nasty pop bunkers and mogul mounds over here. It's one where you have to hit good golf shots. I mean, I'm not breaking any news. You got to hit good golf shots to play good golf. But there's a lot of golf courses where, you know, you can hit kind of a mediocre shot. And it's a good result. That's not really going to play here. You have to hit good, precise, controlled golf shots on this hole and a lot of holes TPC Sawgrass in order to get around. Obviously, you got 17 here. Everyone knows about 17. What I love about 17 is, especially if there's wind, just guys getting completely befuddled by it, trying to guess what club to pick. I mean, that was a huge thing back in 2022 when those guys got completely screwed by the wave split with the wind. I think you saw Koepka basically laughing at how long or how much he airmailed the green because the wind just completely laid down. Party hole. This is where you're going to see Boston Capri. He's going to be in some one of these chalets up here. I'll ask him about it probably on Tuesday. You all know what 17 is. That's the hole that they always promote and pump up. I don't really need to get into a lot of detail. And then 18, demanding hole, top driving hole. You will see guys, I mean, Scottie Scheffler, I think, hit it up until the hills up here with like a five-stroke lead. But if it's close down the stretch, like Justin Thomas was in 2021, he essentially hit a snap hook that somehow stayed out of the water. But again, absolutely no room over to the left here. To the right, you run out of room pretty quickly with the pine straw and the pine trees here. And then again, there's water lurking down the left here. It's, even though it's not the longest par four, it's a very difficult one and one that can sway a tournament. Cam Smith almost blew it here. He hit it way right and he hit his punch shot into the water again to, maybe that's why my co-host had a heart attack because of stresses that Cam Smith put on him during the 22 Players Championship. But overall, though, I hope I highlighted some of the best holes at TPC Sawgrass. Maybe I didn't highlight all the best holes, but just gave you an understanding of how this is a worthy test of golf, how you have to, there's no letdowns here. It's not the toughest golf course. You can card a lot of birdies. If you're hitting really good shots, you're going to get rewarded. But there's a lot of variance here. There's a lot of variance of if this one does a great job separating the wheat from the chaff in the tournament. If you don't have it, you're going to eject it very quickly. If you're playing well and you are just, you know, tuning in with your own game, you can get around very well. And after we go through the next ad break, we'll start showing what types of golfers you're going to want to target this week. So, all right, let's talk about Let's go to another ad break and let's talk about Champs. Champs is hosting a free March Madness bracket contest for a chance to win $1,000. Plus, if you host your own March Madness pool on Champs, you'll get an extra free entry into the bracket contest. Tiebreakers are determined by who enters first, so make sure you register now so you don't miss out. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. Terrell, wait to the end. This is something I do every week. I have to go through the golf course. I have to go through how it plays, what you want to look for. I have made a couple bets. You're going to have to wait to the end, though, okay? All right. So let's get back to the GCSAA. Let's go to the tournament fact sheet. Let's go over everything about this golf course, what you need to know. So originally designed by Pete Dye in 1980, got a renovation in 2016 by Dye and is one of his, protege, Steve Wenzloff of the Dye Design Company. Par 72, 7,275 yards. So on the shorter end, but you know, there are some holes where you have to be a little more conservative off the tee. Can't pull driver. Small greens though, 5,500 square feet. Last couple weeks, you had very big greens, 7,000, 7,500 square feet. Some of the biggest greens on the PGA Tour, very small greens, small targets, Pete Dye golf course, Target Golf. No surprise that you're going to see, really small greens here. It's not about the agronomy. So one of the reasons why this thing looks a lot different than what it did back in like 2018 and before is, well, A, they've changed where it is on the calendar. It was May back then. In May in Florida, the Bermuda is completely thriving. It's growing. No need to overseed it. But in March, it can get a little dicey sometimes. Sometimes you will get, sometimes it'll be warm before the Bermuda will start popping up. But they overseed it. And what I mean by overseed, which is what Terrell is actually asking right now. So overseed is essentially a cold weather or cold tolerant grass, and it can thrive in temperatures when it gets down to like the 40s at night. It needs a lot of water to grow, needs a lot of sunlight, but this is the optimal grass that you want to use when you're basically in a little bit colder climates. So you have a ryegrass overseed tee to green here, champion rye overseed. And then you have the Poa Trivialis overseeded greens. Now, again, my astute colleague here, he's asking what's the difference between Poa Trivialis and Poana. There's a lot of differences. And this is actually very misleading that the GCSAA say this is the 6 of 10 tournaments that use Poa greens. But Poana is a lot different than Poa Trivialis. There's 1,000 different strains of Poa. Poa is essentially a weed. Poana is a lot more bumpier and inconsistent. And that's what you see mostly in like California. A couple golf courses in the Northeast used to have Poa as well. I mean, it's a grass that it spreads easily. You don't have to maintain it as much as you do like a bent grass. But it rolls way differently than a Poa Trivialis. So Poa Trivialis is actually a pretty nice grass to putt on. It runs a lot smoother. Balls roll on it pretty better. That's why you see guys like Adam Hadwin, Canadian guy, hates Bermuda, doesn't like putting on it, has never really been good on it, but he loves going over to putt on the Poa Trivialis because he lives out in the desert. It actually rolls a little more like greens he's used to rolling with. A good grass to putt on. So that's something to keep in mind. If you see this word Poa here, it's not California Poa. It's Poa Trivialis. Some of the one golf courses that where they do overseed it with the Poa Trivialis, Ballast next week has it. Amex, back at the American Express, they had it for that. Harbortown oversees their greens. TPC Louisiana oversees their greens. I believe Quail Hollow in May oversees their greens from Bermuda. So there are a couple ones you can look at. Let's talk about this rough though. 3.5 inches. So this was 3.5 inches last year too. And maybe we'll just get right into it. It's usually 2.5 inches. And that really, there really wasn't much of a penalty then of hitting it in the fairway or in the rough. It's 2.5. Ryegrass isn't really all that significant, but going up to 3.5, though, it seems like it kind of fundamentally changed how the tournament went. So why don't we actually get into that right now? So let's go back to 2019. Rory McIlroy won over Jim Furyk over Johnny Vegas. And I always like looking at this chart right here, this with event correlations. This basically kind of shows you compared to the regular PGA Tour stop, how guys were able to separate themselves in the field, whether it was through guys who just drove it better that week, or guys hit their irons better that week, or putted better. And in 2019, it was basically like the average PGA Tour event. You know, no true way it deviated from anybody else. It was a true, basically, it created a lot of parity, I would say. And you kind of see it in his leaderboard. McIlroy, Furyk, Vegas, Pepperell, DJ, Fleetwood, Snedeker, like guys who just are completely different and do it in completely different ways. It's why there was a lot of parity on his leaderboard. And it was because like there wasn't one style of golf that really was dominating that week over the norm of the PGA Tour, like a venue. Same thing really in 2021 is a little more of a ball strikers tournament in 2021. A little more favorability towards driving and iron play, but not all that crazy. So yeah, you guys saw like, you know, JT, Westwood, Paul Casey, Corey Connors, true ball strikers there, do a little better, Shane Lowry. But it wasn't all that crazy. They got some wind that week. It was a little firm as well. So, you know, that's why you kind of saw a little bit. But again, not all that crazy. The driving stats, though, how you did with driving didn't really impact at all. Like, it really through accuracy or distance is basically just how it normally is. 2022, still with 2.5 inch overseed. Again, this one's almost one you want to kind of throw out. The 2022 Players Championship. If you remember, the first and second round went, I think, ended on Sunday. And that was one where the afternoon wave played, I think, their first round over 3 days. They started on Thursday. And I think they just started Thursday. And then they played like 10 holes on Friday. And then they woke up on Saturday and it was 40 mile per hour winds. And everybody just got crushed. So it's almost one where you just kind of just throw it out. Everybody, I think, in the top 10 here was in the morning wave for that one. Everyone who got cut, like Xander and Morikawa and Brooks, they all were in the afternoon wave. They had no shot. 22 is almost one you got to throw out. But just still, again, pretty diverse leaderboard here. Cam Smith, Casey, Kisner, Varner, DJ, Hovland. Like, and again, like there wasn't one dominating trait that basically played out through a tournament. How you played golf, and if you showed up with your A game, well, let's go to 2023 though. Because last year was the first time they grew up the ryegrass rough. Big change. Material change. Huge emphasis now on guys who drove it really good on the week, like way more than normal than PGA Tour standards. A little bit more with the ball striking, a little bit more around the green, a lot more around the green too. Basically, how you did tee to green on the week, the guys who hit it the best tee to green did the best, and putting really didn't matter all that much. This was not a putting contest. I mean, you look at this top 10 here, guys are not really gaining a whole lot of strokes putting on the field. This was a big test tee to green. And if you look at what happens with how guys did it off the tee, huge, huge emphasis towards how many fairways you hit in the tournament. This ryegrass they added last year really, I think, changed the game about how TPC Sawgrass is. It put more of a premium back into hitting the fairway. It's not just the ryegrass rough too. They also add a lot of mogul mounds too to make it a little more severe. But it really, it's one of the few golf courses I can think of where, you know, anytime you add like a lot of rough, sometimes it doesn't have as big of an effect because these guys are just so long. But this one really did. We're growing the rough up and adding a little bit more adversity off the fairways there. Truly made it more of a contest of how many fairways you can hit. And then from there, made the approach has maybe a little easier, a bigger penalty for missing a fairway. That's something to really keep in mind. And you can also see what happened too. Let's go back just the last, 2021. And this is similar to other years. So the driving accuracy rate, 59% in 2021, green regulation rate, 66%. Grow up the rough a little bit in 2023, 59% driving accuracy rate, but the green regulation rate plummeted 7 percentage points. And I think maybe Saturday might get a little windy, maybe Saturday morning. but there wasn't a lot of weather adversity last year that would have caused this. This is all the fact that if you missed a fairway at Sawgrass, it was a lot more difficult to hit the green in regulation. So that's something to keep in mind is you're going to want guys who drive are pretty good this week. And, you know, I mean, that is a bit of a challenge because, you know, there are some times that guys are pulling less than driver, but, you know, overall, I guess how I would attack that is if you're just seeing a guy who just isn't hitting all that good, little inconsistent, chances are they're probably not going to pull a long iron and hit all that good off the tee anyways. So loose ball striking is going to get punished a lot more this week, I think, because, you know, especially off the tee here because of this rough. And you can see it right here. Huge emphasis on driving accuracy. And, you know, with the predictive skill set model as well, it is a little more predictive. Guys who tend to be a little more accurate off the tee do a little better here. Again, if you miss at Sawgrass, while, you know, I think that was up until last year, it was way more penal back, it was Bermuda. But now that they've added more adversity off the fairway here, you have to hit good control to tee shots. Now, that's not to say, like, let's go back here. Minwoo Lee did really well last year. You know, he's a sprayer off the tee. But if you actually looked, Minwoo Lee actually drove it really good on the year. He hit it 66% of his fairways. So, and you see a lot of these guys in the top 10, like, look at the ranks here. All with it, a lot of these guys are within like the top like 25 in fairways hits on the week. And lo and behold, they were really good driving it. So that just kind of goes to show how, while trying to predict how well guys are going to hit fairways is difficult, it's definitely going to put a premium on it this week. Everything else, though, it's kind of what I've already described. Low court distance is not a good predictor at TPC Sawgrass because, you can if you're a shorter hitter, longer hitter, you can show up to Sawgrass and with your A game and do well. Iron play is a little less predictive than the PGA Tour stop, but it's still very predictive overall. Same thing with putting around the green. This goes to show that a lot of leaderboards at Sawgrass, there's a lot of variability and there's a lot of parity on it. So why don't we take another ad break? And then we'll start going over just some of the nitty-gritty of the golf course, some stats, some other things to look at, some other things that this rough actually impacted that'll show up in how this golf course played last year. So, all right, let's talk about Hall of Fame bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame bets. Sports and analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea in the Hall of Fame bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. So stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame bets. All right, let's add this back. Let's go over the... We kind of went through the leaderboard, so I don't really need to go into this. Let's go to the course table. So let's go over just the degree of difficulty of the holes in general. Par 3, some of the more difficult ones in the PGA Tour, 19th most difficult out of about 85 or 86 in 2015. I would probably chalk that up to a lot of that having to be with 17, some of the car crashes there. But, I mean, I think 8's a longer par 3 that can be difficult. Number 3 also has some adversity to it. Especially when it's windy conditions. These are tough par threes. You got to have good iron play in order to play this. Hit your irons good with these par threes. You can't really get away with a really bad shot. Last year was actually the third most difficult out of 45 played. Same with the par fours. Again, small targets, target golf, have to be precise on these holes. 16th most difficult out of about like 85 or so. Last couple of years though, top 10 most difficult par fours on the PGA Tour. Par fives, little easier. They're all reachable for the most part. If you're out of position off the tee, yes, you might not be able to get birdie. But overall though, not all that daunting. As long as you avoid trouble You can come away with birdie fairly easy on the par fives at TPC Sawgrass. And then just the where it's difficult in basically every single category. It's a true test of golf, tee to green. It's difficult tee shots, especially the last couple of years. Top five most difficult in tee shots on the PGA Tour. Same thing with iron shots, top six most difficult. Round green putting get a little break, but the degree of difficulty is still fairly high. Last year, though, it says on Data Golf, you know, it, like in 2019, it was the fifth. It was the fifth most difficult to putt on, and it's up to 27 here. I don't really know how to explain that. I think that's probably something you have to ask Data Golf. Maybe because of the emphasis of just ball striking on the week. Maybe that's had an impact on it. I'm not sure. Let's look at the driving stats for this. So let's go to values here. So one of the lower average driving distances on the PGA Tour, guys are hitting a lot of less than driver. It also, I noticed too, that even on driver holes, if you miss the fairway because of the 3.5 inch ryegrass grip, the ball will stop. So that also is reducing how far you're hitting off the tee. But I have noticed over the last couple of years, as guys are hitting it straighter and longer, and it's harder to really miss hit drives, guys are being a little more aggressive here. So, and again, like, you know, with this golf course, you can hit drivers on some certain holes. You have to be precise with it and you have to hit the shot perfectly. But, you know, I have noticed an overall trend of just a little more aggressiveness at Sawgrass with the driver. Might be why, you know, there was a little bit more of an increase in driving, average driving distance from 2022, although this is probably weather related, to be honest, with that. Driving accuracy rates have been relatively stable through the years, a little less now because I think guys are using a little more driver at the golf course, but still, you know, low 60s, high 50s, pretty consistent over the years there. The missed fairway penalty, though. So it's always been pretty penal to miss a fairway at Sawgrass. The difference between your score on a hole, if you hit from the fairway and from the rough or bunker or wherever, has always been fairly high. It's the 14th most penal on every golf course since 2015. Last year was third most. Back when it was Bermuda, it also was really penal. It got a little easier when it was shorter ryegrass, but then it jumped right back up to one of the top three most difficult on the PGA Tour if you missed a fairway at. The rough also saw a bump up in difficulty here. Sixth most difficult, basically your average score in a hole between if you're in the rough or not. So, as I mentioned earlier, there was a huge premium put on hitting fairways last year because the rough was up. Some of the features that they enhanced off the fairway were a little more tougher. You can see it in this data here that there was a half a stroke difference between if you were hitting from a fairway and hitting from the rough. That's a huge difference. So, I've said this ad nauseum, but with the changes they've made in recent years, this is one where you got to keep in the fairway. Approach stats, this is one of the most difficult ones from under 150 yards. Again, I think a lot of this has to do with number 17. That plays about 135, 140 yards. Water all around. High scores can be definitely put up there. But I highlighted number 4 earlier. Where that's a short approach shot, and that's one where if you don't have control of your spin or you spin it too much, it's going to roll back into the water there. So that's another great thing about this golf course. Even with the short approach shots, there's a lot of adversity around the green there, and the degree of difficulty is usually pretty high. So you're not just it's not just a mindless wedge fest. So you know, you got to be really good with your shots under 150 yards. I was looking at the proximity buckets later. There's actually a lot of those under 150 yards. So definitely something you need to be very in tune with at TPC Sawgrass. Around the green, I mean, it's just overall tough. I mean, you saw a big spike. I think the most notable thing to note is the big spike in how difficult it was to get up and down from the rough around the green Sawgrass. Again, I think that's just because they grew it up. Definitely one where it was actually the toughest of any golf course on the PGA Tour last year, trying to get up and down from the rough. And that's speaking to how much they grew up the grass there. And then putting, this one's kind of all over the place. 2 years ago, it was the fifth most difficult to putt on from putts under 5 feet. Same thing in 2019. Last year, one of the easiest. I don't really know why. I'd have to ask Data Golf why that's why. But I think what we showed earlier with, let's go back to this. This is turning into such, if we think last year is now how it's going to be going forward, this is turning into such a tee to green contest that if the putting is so variable and not as impactful to how the tournament goes, I mean, like, this is suggesting that how you, driving it was way more important than how you putt it, which is never the case. Like, it's always way more impactful in your total source gain how you putt it in a grand tournament. This actually suggested how you drove it was more important. So that's probably the, you know, the putting stats that Data Golf are giving out is kind of confusing. I think based on what we're looking for this week, though, not really going to be all that bothered by it. Let's see. Let's end the show now with, because we already did this. We already did the course fit tools. Let's go to proximity buckets. Because this has been kind of up and down through the years. So it's been mostly consistent, but as I'll scroll through these charts here, you know, less shots than normal from under 150 yards for the most part in 2019, a lot more from 150, 175, a lot more from 225 plus. Going through the years, though, now in 2021, suddenly there was a big spike in shots from 125 to 150, a lot less, I think, from like over 200. 2022 seems to have shifted a little longer. I think that's weather related. And 2023, it actually shifted way shorter. Played a lot shorter last year. I think maybe because, because of how deep the rough was last year, maybe guys got a little more aggressive and just say, you know, I'm just going to hit it as far as I can, shore up the golf course and make it a little, you know, just hit driver. So what I did instead was I created just a little heat map of what it's been over the years. So, you know, and you can kind of see based on the progression of all the years, like where, how it's kind of fluctuated. On average, though, what, half your shots are going to come between 125 and 200 here. That's your biggest range. I mean, like, that's not a big surprise. Like, you got to hit it really good. Good ball strikers do really well at TPC Sawgrass. The best ball strikers are usually the one between like 125 and 200 for the most part. You know, like, shorter irons, mid irons. Most of your shots from over 250 are going to be obviously your par fives. It's about 11% of the golf course. But, you know, overall, though, it's a pretty stern test through the bag. Obviously, a higher emphasis of shots between 125 and 200, but it's only half the shots. This is definitely just a ball striking contest. I mean, I don't think I'm breaking any news, but I hope coming out of this, the biggest takeaway is how much the rough growing up last year changed things. I think that's pretty material change. It definitely used to be, especially when they overseeded it, hitting from the fairway or in the rough, it wasn't as penal. Now it seems like it is. You got to drive it truly, really good here. What happened last year was a big change from other years. Okay. So now let's get rid of all this. Okay. Let's start answering questions from Terrell. So performance of API last week. I mean, listen, like I think there definitely is something about momentum here. I remember a couple of years ago in 2021, you had a showdown between Bryson and Lee Westwood coming down the stretch, and they basically did round two at the Players the following week. And, you know, I mean, Bay Hill is a ball strikers golf course. Obviously, it plays a lot differently, though. You know, although now, I mean, with the rough, I mean, maybe it isn't all that different. But Bay Hill's a lot longer, a lot more driver heavy, bigger greens. I don't know how firm these greens are going to be at Ponte Vedra. I'm going to have to ask probably how Capper, how those are. But, I think, you know, you saw a guy like Wyndham Clark kind of spray it all over the place a little bit. Probably won't play quite as well this week at TPC Sawgrass, although I'd have to look back at the data if he drove it well. But I think there definitely is something about momentum, how you did saw at API. I think if you hit it bad last week at API, that's not encouraging. I noticed kind of looking at winners, guys were trending up with their irons and their ball striking. Like, even if they didn't have the best finishes, they really started to hit the ball well. Like Ricky, I remember I was looking back at his profile. He was starting to hit his irons a lot better heading in, wasn't showing a lot of good finishes, and then all of a sudden that translated to a good win. So I don't think guys are just going to suddenly find ball striking here. When it comes to Morikawa, which Terrell is also asking about, this is a guy on my radar. Listen, I don't think Bay Hill is a good golf course for him. I think Morikawa thrives. We always think about him with, like, you know, a lot of driving accuracy, but I think what happens with Morikawa is if you get him on a golf course that's pretty narrow and really thick rough, it takes away a lot of his skill with his irons. And I think, and I know, I think the last couple of weeks he hasn't driven it all that good. I think he made a driver change back at Riviera. He was really stubborn about going away from his Sim Max that he's been hitting a lot and going to the QI10, which is a lower spinning driver. He hasn't been driving all that good since then. And maybe it's because he likes to hit that patented cut. Maybe it's not cutting quite as much as he'd like with it, so they're doing some tweaks. I think that's a little concerning, but I think this golf course is a much better fit for Morikawa if he is driving it well. The question is if he's going to drive it a little better than he has been, and he hasn't. You know, for a shorter guy, he was gaining a lot of strokes off the tee through his accuracy. It's not really happening the last couple of tournaments because he's been a little wild. I mean, that was case in point. He sent two left on the first hole on Friday. Maybe he's having some driver issues right now. But, I mean, he's 30-1. This is a good golf course for him. He played well last year until it got cold and windy. I'd have to go look at the weather and see what's going to happen there. I wouldn't be surprised for a Morikawa bounce back this week, especially like in DFS or positionals or anything like that. I think Morikawa definitely can win a player championship, but I'm a little concerned about that driver, which is surprising because usually I'm not. All right, so guys I've already bet. I'm trying not to bet too early because I've been screwed a lot on wave splits, and it seems like there might be one this week, might be one with Friday afternoon getting a little more windier. But I'll start at the top here. Zalatoris was at 28, and I bet that. And obviously the ball striking is back, and he's hitting his irons great. Seems like a lot more putter comfortable with the putter. As well with the long putter. What's impressive about Zalatoris, though, is, you know, I mean, like he was always a great driver, but he could get a little loose off the tee. He actually, I think he led the field last week in driving accuracy. And it's not like he was laying up off the tee a lot. He was hitting driver a lot, and he doesn't have as much pop as what he used to. He's got a shorter driver, less club head speed, but club head speed is not something you need here. At Sawgrass, it's purely ball striking. And he's hitting a lot of fairways with his driver now. And I think that's going to, I think, change the calculus for him at Sawgrass. He's been okay here. But I think with all the momentum Zalatoris has coming in right now, he's going to be chalk. I freely acknowledge that. But I love how much control he now has off the tee. When sacrificing some distance, I think that's going to play really good this week here. And I think at 28, with a guy coming to a golf course that demands precision and great ball striking, sign me up for Zalatoris. So 28 on him. I also bet Brian Harman at 80-1. Very surprising, good showing last week at Bay Hill, a golf course that I would not expect Brian Harman to do well at. I know there's been some shorter guys who have done well at Bay Hill. He's not really been one of them. He wasn't playing all that good heading into Bay Hill. He wasn't on my radar. I was very surprised he was 36 hole, I think, co-leader. Saturday did not go well, but he actually played pretty good yesterday. Shot one under, finished T12. Probably maybe that he was off your radar because he just ejected on Saturday. He's had a lot of really good finishes at Sawgrass. He's got a couple top tens. I think he finished third here back in 2021. Again, this is a golf course that if you're playing good, it doesn't matter if you're a bomber, a shorter hitter, you can show up to Sawgrass and do well. Obviously, he's won the Open Championship. He can win in strong fields. A lot of these recent winners of the Players Championship have been major winners. So, and he hit the ball really good last week. I think he gained over a stroke with his irons. I like his form coming in. I'm going to keep riding the hot hand with Brian Harman. I think he carried over again for another good finish this week at the Players. And then 200-1. Why not? I don't care about the wave split at this point. How about Billy Horschel? 200-1. He's been okay here. I don't think he has a top 10 at all at the Players, but he's been sneaky good this year. He had a lot of struggles last year, started to come on a little bit towards the end of the year last year with a good finish at Wyndham. But he finished T18 at Sony, finished T9 at the Honda, or well, the Cognizant. Hit it really good tee to green at that tournament. And we didn't see him last week. I was actually disappointed because I thought he could carry the momentum to Bay Hill. He's been pretty good there. But with a guy like Billy Horschel, I mean, unless he just doesn't like the golf course and doesn't fit his eye, if he's on and he's truly playing some of Billy Horschel good golf again, I don't see why Sawgrass should be a golf course where he should struggle with, because he can be a really good ball striker with the irons, and that's obviously been pretty good lately. Show some accuracy off the tee. You know, he's not the longest guy, but length isn't really a factor at Sawgrass as much as it is at other golf courses, and especially with the recent trends last year of you really had to hit the fairways in order to do well. I think 200-1 for Billy Horschel in form has demonstrated that he can beat good fields. When he won at Memorial and won the match play and won the BMW PGA, where, listen, it's the Euro Tour, but all the best European Tour players are going over and playing that tournament, and he beat them all. Guy can show up to big events and close out in good fields. And I think 200-1 for Billy Horschel is something that I think I'll just take a stab at, regardless if there's a wave split or not. So that's it. Terrell, save those thoughts for the Tuesday show, buddy. All right, I'm running out of time. I got to shower and get to work. I'm out of time. But thank you for joining me. Again, thank you for your patience. You can please subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're watching here. Go subscribe to us on the Golf Gambling Podcast as well on Spotify and Apple. We appreciate all the downloads and support you give the show. Give us a rate and review as well. We haven't got one of those lately. It's always good to get good feedback from us, things you like, things you don't like. We read them. So with that, good luck handicapping the Players. We will be back on Tuesday night with Andy Lack to go over the betting board, maybe some DFS stuff too. We also have the DFS show in your feed right now from Matt Gannon, doing great stuff for us. Go download that. So with that, good luck putting together your betting cards for the Players, and we'll see you on Tuesday night.